Good evening, and welcome again to Ever Increasing Word Training Center. So glad to be here this evening to train to teach you God's Word. We're going to pick up where we left off on the third stage of revival, which is times of refreshing. So let us begin, because we have a lot to cover, because we must get through times of repentance, which is the second stage of revival, and finally, times of revelation. Now, I want to proceed before I get deep into teaching this evening, is that I on purpose taught this book in reverse this year based upon things that our apostle was communicating unto us. I know that there are seven stages of revival, and we always like to do things in either alphabetical or numerical order. But I want to bring something to your attention. When you get at home and you pull into your driveway, that's D, right? Drive. Is that right? Now, when you pull up to the front door and then you put it in reverse and go back the other way, I'm trying to get some help. Are you lost? No. Why? Because you what? You know the way. Are you listening? The reason that I did times of revival is first is because I wanted us to understand that we have one in our midst. Apostle Leroy Thompson. Are you listening? And I believe that revivalists are true apostolic fathers who by reason of use of the word of God and maturity in ministry, having paid the price, I believe in every generation there is a revivalist. You can prove it. Go to the Bible. Moses. Talk to me. David. Samuel. Solomon. All of these men that God used, don't matter what you think, all of these men that God used became his instruments to bring revival into the world. Now, we're talking about the church age. So these seven stages of revival are referring to the church age. And so let us get right now into times of refreshing. The purpose of the apostolic is to bring us back to God's original plan by creating a heaven to earth government structure. Now, I just added that from the last time we got together, because we found out from our apostle that reformation is bringing things back to God's original plan. That's always been God's plan from the foundation of the world. You listening? It's for us to function in the way that he originally intended things to be. So the purpose of the apostolic is to bring us back to God's original plan by creating and establishing a heaven to earth government structure, which allows the portals of the supernatural to be open. Now, God does. The apostolic cannot be in existence without an apostle. So God uses the apostle to establish a heaven to earth government so that the portals of the supernatural can be open. And all of those who are properly connected can enter in and benefit. Now, we must further understand that apostolic government covers the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, all carrying what? An apostolic anointing. Are you listening? It is important to understand that you have apostles who are what? Apostolic in nature. You understand, no matter what ministry gift you are called to. You must connect to the apostle to receive the apostolic grace to carry out the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ until we all come into the what? Unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature man, a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. That cannot take place without apostolic government being in place. The purpose of the apostolic is also to establish territorial governing churches. That cannot be done without having apostolic believers. Apostolic believers are those who are self-governed. You don't need nobody watching you. You've been trained. You've been equipped. You've been developed to carry out the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. You have matured, so now you qualify to help others. Don't sit up here like you're not listening, trying to help you. The apostolic is not just some name, some fancy thing we're trying to say. It is trying to get all of us on the same page and understanding that it's easy when you do it from apostolic grace. Okay? Okay, let's get to the lesson. See how to consciously deal with the tares that's in your life.
We need to know.
Rather the tares are already inside
our subconscious
mind,
or whether they are trying
to enter via our conscious mind.
When we are dealing with the present attack,
through our conscious minds,
we need to be fully equipped
with a renewed mind
to stop any and all advances of the enemy.
This is like preventing the bee
from attacking or stinging
the fruit.
The sting of the bee
destroys the outer layer
of the skin of the fruit,
causing eventual decay,
which opens up room
for the worms to develop
inside of the fruit.
Thus, in dealing with the attack
via the conscious mind,
we are dealing with the bee.
But at other times,
we are dealing with tares
and seeds
that have been sown
within the subconscious mind
of a person.
It is like dealing with the worms
which are already inside of the fruit.
Those worms are working from the inside
of the fruit.
And the decay has already begun
from within.
The bee that has stung the fruit
is long gone.
But the decay that is caused by the sting of the bee
has bred worms
that is now attacking the fruit
from within.
Thus, we need to know
how to deal with the bee
that is the present attack
that is coming from the outside
through the conscious mind
and learn to deal with the worms.
That is an eternal internal attack
that is coming from seeds
that is now embedded in the subconscious mind.
I hope y'all realize that all of this is talking about your soul,
because your spirit cannot entertain sin.
Because God's word, the seed of God's word, is on the inside of you.
When you have been born of God,
You listening? You're born of the Spirit and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the redemption of your body. Go ahead.
D.
D.
How to deal with the B.
How to deal with the B.
Number one.
We need to avoid places.
Where temptations are prevalent.
Two.
We need to take extra precautions.
In the areas.
Where we are commonly tempted.
And man falls.
Three.
We need to develop a what? A healthy thought pattern. See, Satan only has access to the soul of man. You listening? Without the transformation of the soul, without the renewing of the mind, man cannot walk by faith. I know you never heard that before, but it's the truth. You listening? Because walking by faith means you're following God's instructions. And Satan is determined to establish thought patterns in our lives that become fortresses or garrisons, you listening? That blocks us out from our rightful inheritance as children of God. Go ahead.
We need to develop a healthy thought pattern
about the areas
where we are commonly tempted.
Four,
we also need to deal with religious attitudes
that we may have
about those areas of temptation.
In other words, I find in the church world today, there's a very laxed attitude. Y'all see all of this stuff about gay pride and you can't really speak against it. If you're afraid, you listening? But we need to understand the apostolic is not afraid of the government. The government can't tell us to marry a man and a man. Now y'all kind of quiet. The government can't tell us to marry two women. I don't care what kind of law they put on the books. There's no law that can supersede God's law. Are you listening? And so we have to watch this. We have to be very cognizant that we're not allowing the feeding of that information into our souls through television and friends we know who are engaged in that type of activity, even family members that are engaged in that type of activity. We cannot allow that to infiltrate our minds where we think it's okay. It's not okay. You listening? Are you listening? All right. Now we also need to understand this. See, the Holy Ghost is something because he'll talk to you if you let him. Sometimes in the church, we get off on one end at the expense of the other end. But remember, gays, lesbians, bisexuals, I guess Q for queers, huh? And T is for transvestites. You listening? A transgender, you call it what you want. Amen. Make sure we have the proper term. But I want you to understand, we can deal with all of those lifestyles. You listening? But they're looking at us too. You listening? Because even though those lifestyles are considered to be an abomination, amen, doing things contrary to what? Nature. We have to cover the what? Whole spectrum. Now, fornication deals with all sexual sin. You listening? Well, y'all kind of quiet. So we have to make sure that we're keeping ourselves out of those areas. Lest we're pointing a finger and the thumb is coming back the other way. So we must avoid areas in our lives. In that mind, temptation through your thought life. Now, you can sit up here all sanctimonious if you want to. Are you listening? But you got to deal with life. Are you listening? So ain't no sense of going on the beach if your mind ain't right. I'm going to go over here. Shades don't help. Are you listening? You could be blind on the beach and still have bad thoughts.
He's been moving.
Number five.
We need to deal wisely
with negative words
that is spoken to us every day.
Deal with all negative words that bring forth negative emotions and feelings. Go ahead.
Number six.
We need to respond rightly
to circumstances and situations
in our lives.
E.
How to deal with the worms.
Number one.
We need to what?
Repent.
Say repent.
Go ahead.
Asking forgiveness from God
for allowing these seeds
to be embedded in our subconscious mind.
You know how they get embedded in your subconscious mind?
Huh?
Because it's a tape that plays over and over and over.
You cannot answer thoughts with thoughts.
You must cast down thoughts and imaginations.
Are you listening?
Now, see, all of this sounds good mechanically,
but what's in your mind when you're watching TV?
Nobody wants to talk real talk.
Can you handle that kind of movie?
Yeah, Pastor, I have the anointing upon me.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead, daughter.
Number two.
We need to renew our minds
to those affected areas
in our lives.
Three.
We need to survey the extent
or the measure
of the damage to our souls.
Is the seed preoccupying my thoughts?
Is my emotions taking a toll?
Now, I'm sitting up here, but you have to understand, this could be in the area of finances.
Uh-huh. Okay.
This could be in the area of what?
Finances.
Act like you heard what I just said.
The enemy can impact your thought life about any area
and embed thoughts in your head that's contrary to God's word.
Are you listening?
Even though you want to say like KC in the Sunshine Band,
that's the way.
I like it.
Why y'all ask, see, church folk get all sanctimonious, but the thoughts are murdering them.
Are you listening?
Murderous thoughts.
Never heard that term, huh?
A murderous thought.
No, I'm not talking about you killing nobody.
I'm talking about Satan murdering you through thought life.
Go ahead.
Are my emotions taking a toll? Is my conversation often reverting?
Is my conversation often reverting
to the incidents or the seeds?
Am I thinking of any physical actions
to carry out these obsessive thoughts?
Boy, get quiet when you're teaching times of repentance or times of, well, it's times of refreshing, but good God Almighty, wait till you get to times of repentance. Go ahead.
Is my willpower crumbling in?
Refusing to resist
these emotional passions,
takeovers.
Who should we turn to for help?
Choose someone.
Who is what?
Trustworthy.
Don't choose Mr. Bucket Mouth.
Go ahead.
Someone who can be entrusted.
With what kind of information?
Have you ever given
anybody classified information into your life?
Because the most obvious thing amongst Christians is we don't.
It's kind of quiet now.
Why?
Because you don't trust.
And sometimes it's out of pride.
I don't want nobody to know I'm having these thoughts.
Well, guess what?
You in the world? Huh? Huh? You in the world? Oh, you're going to have some thoughts. If you wasn't going to have thoughts, the scripture wouldn't teach cast down imaginations. If you wasn't going to have thoughts, there would be no need for the TSA. Thought Security Agency. That's the Holy Ghost. You listening? And 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, I believe verses 3 through 5, it talks about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the what? Knowledge of what? God. The knowledge of God. See, that's why God gives us knowledge. You listening? So we can take the knowledge he gives us and compare to that secular knowledge that's trying to infiltrate who we really are. Now, it's easy to say these things, but you got to focus to do them. Amen. Fight yourself. Go ahead.
Choose someone
who does not have a problem
in that area of our temptation,
whatever it is.
Find someone
who has very high standards
in this area of need.
Don't go to somebody, you know, who believe in divorce. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Choose someone.
Y'all know y'all get quiet. Church folk. There's more divorce in the church than in the world. People swapping wives. Y'all kind of quiet. This is going on in the church. Oh, Lord. It'll get quiet in the First Presbyterian churches. Go ahead.
Choose someone
who's in leadership
and has a proper covering.
That has a proper apostolic covering
over his
or her life. Choose someone
who can give
you consistent help
until
you're fully delivered
and have overcome this need.
And you have overcome this need or this challenge.
We need someone
who operates strongly in the discerning of spirits.
And
we need someone
possibly
that's where at? In our own what? Local church. Y'all kind of quiet. See, but God is bringing his church to what? Maturity. Go ahead, daughter.
Chapter 12.
Chapter 12, which is the stage two of end time, times of repentance. Go ahead.
The second stage.
Leading to the times of revival.
It's
called the times of repentance.
The revelation of the ways.
Working and nature.
Of the Holy Spirit.
Requires drastic changes.
On the part of the church.
And the church is who? The individual people that make it up. Go ahead.
New wine warrants a change in the what?
Wineskins. You can't pour new wine in the old wineskins. Else the bottle gonna burst and the wine gonna be wasted. Go ahead.
One thing for sure. It is not God who needs to what?
Change. God say, I am the Lord, I change not. I am the Lord, I change not. I'm not gonna ever let man rule me. I made him. Go ahead.
The coming in of revelation
brings light into our lives.
Change becomes a necessity.
Change is welcomed
because
change is seen as an important ingredient
to sustain and to maintain
a move of God. Notice this phrase, within us. Change no longer becomes
a painful process,
but an exciting adventure
because it brings joy and fullness of what?
Blessing. You know, it's good to see yourself grow. It is good to see something that used to impact you in previous times won't have the same impact on your life. You know that person that act real nasty with you? Huh? Don't treat you right? You don't give in to them no more. You don't allow their nastiness to dominate your thought life. You're listening to me. You need to practice the song. Let them walk on by. Are you listening? Or you can do the other song. I'm too good at goodbyes. I say, how you know all them songs? Because they're on the radio. Go ahead.
Revelation knowledge
is seen as the early rain that comes upon the ground, softening the hardened soil.
The purpose of the early rain
is to help break up the fallow ground for plowing.
A.
There are two types of repentance.
Repentance is not only
the aspect of the confession of sin,
but it is the turning away
from that
which is displeasing to God,
and choosing a lifestyle
that honors,
that it honors and is what? Pleasing to him. Guess where all of this is working at? Say in my soul. Say in my soul. Go ahead.
Repentance is not just an act,
but a lifestyle. But it is a what?
A lifestyle.
Say repentance
is a lifestyle.
Go ahead.
Cultivating an attitude
to continuously change
until our lives
are aligned to God's word,
his will,
his purposes, his plans, and his pursuits for us.
God has a plan
for my life.
Say it.
God has a purpose for my life.
I must pursue it
with everything
that is within me.
Not for a position,
but because of
my relationship
to God
as my Father.
Go ahead.
There are two types of repentance.
One is repentance from sin,
and the other is repentance from dead works.
Both of these aspects of repentance,
they are complementary one to the other.
In fact,
matured repentance
is incomplete
without these two aspects,
even if the act of repentance
is one that is accompanied with tears
and emotions.
Number one.
Repentance from sins.
Repentance from sin
is the turning away
from all known and practiced sin
and the sinful habit.
Say the sinful habit.
You don't hear much about that in the church, huh?
You know the sinful habit begin where at?
In your thought life.
In your thought life.
The 90% of the time you're away from your house.
Go ahead.
The sin nature has been taken out of our spirit.
And the 10% that you're in the house.
Uh-huh.
You thought you got away.
Go ahead, daughter.
The sin nature has been taken out of our spirit.
The sin nature or the sin habit has been taken out of our spirits.
Our spirit has been recreated.
Our spirits have been recreated
in the image
and in the likeness of God.
But there still lies a sin habit
within our souls and within our what?
Bodies.
You have to understand that as a believer.
Are you listening?
Everybody got to understand that.
Go ahead.
Repentance from sin
is to deal with the sin habit
that's in our souls
and in our what?
Bodies.
We need to deal with the what?
Lifestyle
that gives opportunities
to the sin habit
to manifest.
Our souls and our bodies
will undergo death
if the sin habit
still finds opportunities
to manifest itself within us.
Our spirits are set free
from the sin nature
and is now alive
and righteous.
We must and we need to allow the Holy Spirit
to empower our spirits
to rise up,
to live a holy life.
Our spirits can then become
a channel of the Holy Spirit
to quicken our mortal bodies with life.
When we put to death
the deeds of the body
and the soul
and begin to live a life
that is free from any obligation
to obey the flesh,
then we are truly set free
from the spirit of slavery and bondage.
Now, y'all know what this reminds me of. Y'all remember the temptation of Jesus?
Huh?
Do you remember? You remember how Jesus defeated the enemy?
Huh?
Whenever the enemy would come with a temptation, Jesus would do what?
Say, it is.
It is.
It is what?
It is written.
In order for you to know what is written, you got to give yourself to it, right?
But then there's a level above what's written.
Huh?
God will give you on the spot what to deal with.
So Jesus went from it is written to it is said.
Are you listening?
Now, Jesus made a statement that you very, very rarely hear of in the church world.
Jesus said, after the temptation, the scripture said Satan was leaving for a while.
You listening?
But that meant he was what?
Gonna circle back.
Are you listening?
I'm about to help you.
But when you mature and he circled back, there's nothing in you for him to connect to.
Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh,
but there's nothing in me to respond to it.
And none of y'all shouting.
That's where the renewing of the mind takes place.
Are you listening?
I don't care how old you get.
This is a day by day walk with God.
You listening?
You can get mad at the Catholic for confession, but I believe they own us something.
Thank you for your enthusiasm.
Maybe you need to see the priest.
Go ahead.
I heard a pin drop in here.
Go ahead.
Our yielding to the Holy Spirit
indwelling
in us
can energize our spirit
and our communion with God.
And the Father is greatly enhanced.
When such a life in the Spirit
breaks forth in us,
we should know our adoptions as sons and daughters.
Only when our bodies and our souls are free
from the obligations
to obey the sin habit,
and we have become yielded
and led by the Holy Spirit
into a lifestyle of sonship and communion,
then we will fully know
and understand
the biblical term, the adoption of sons.
That's Romans 8. Read the whole 8 chapter, but especially verses 11 through 17.
There's no reality
as adoption as sons
until the redemption of our bodies
and souls
is established through
the effectual working of what?
The Holy Spirit.
Let me say this and put it in a way that you can understand it.
Without yielding completely to the Holy Spirit, this could never be done.
because man must yield his will to God's will. You understand that? Man must yield his will to God's will. Everyone must go through the step, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Now, I don't know about you, but flesh can act up at any moment. You keep it on the cross, nailed, amen, and keep it buried. It'll rise on you. Oh, some of y'all, oh no, Pastor, oh, I'm a man and woman of faith. Well, quit shooting the bird at people. Quit cussing people, you cussing Christian. Amen. Oh, Jesus said Nathanael was a man who had no guile in his mouth. Can he say that about you? Well, Pastor, I got upset, so I was speaking French. You're lying. I don't even know French, and I know that word you use was not French. Go ahead.
This repentance from sin
is to meet with the master.
It is like the first cleansing
of the temple that was in Jerusalem.
The first cleansing occurred
during the early part of Jesus' ministry.
This cleansing helps us
to meet with the master
and to fulfill his requirements
of our lives.
The repentance from sin
is obeying God's requirements
of us.
Number two,
repentance from dead works.
Repentance from dead works
is turning away
from all things
that are not profitable
to God's kingdom and spirit life.
Notice, it's not profitable to God's kingdom and God's spirit life.
Didn't say it was sin. Said it was a dead work.
Unprofitable to you.
As a believer, we can't be involved with all of the stuff.
It's hard to train this generation that.
This generation is chameleons.
Are you listening?
When it's green, they green.
When it's brown, they brown.
When it's iridescent,
they iridescent. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Go ahead.
There are many legitimate needs and wants.
There are many legitimate needs and wants
in our lives
that we can do without.
Our willingness to let
them go.
Of
our willingness
to let go.
Of all lawful things
of the earth,
to seek only
the profitable things of the
Spirit
constitutes repentance
from dead works.
That's powerful, isn't it?
Huh?
It's lawful.
You could do it,
but because of the kingdom's sake,
you say, I choose not to do that.
When everybody around you is doing it.
But you say, I choose not to do that.
I'm not going that route.
That's why so many people get caught up
with what other people allow.
What's about what God allows
you to do?
Because all of our temperaments are what?
Different.
The enemy don't attack everybody the same way.
You listening?
He going to find an area that you need some help in.
And he going to beat you
till you get it straight.
God can't do it.
The preacher can't do it.
Only you can.
Go ahead.
We need to understand
that both good and evil
can come from the same tree.
Called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or the tree of blessing and calamity.
Guess where that tree at?
In your soul.
Go ahead.
When we rely upon the human mind
and wisdom,
we are partaking from the tree
of the knowledge
of good and evil.
The good
from the tree of the knowledge
is just as deadly
as the evil
that comes from the same tree.
Often the good
becomes the enemy of the best. Did you understand that? Now see, some of y'all got that all mixed up, but let me help you. You tell a child, clean your room, right? Right? What's the assignment? Clean the room. You listening? They go outside and cut the grass. The grass needed to be cut, right? Right? What was the assignment? Clean the room, right? So the child cuts the grass and go get totally out the whack with you. I cut the grass. Eat your own rice. That should have been good for you, right? Right? No, you failed because you didn't do the right thing. You did a good thing. The right thing is the assignment. You listening? In this generation that we live in, people oftentimes get good mixed up with right. That's why you hear the term, are they good people? Huh? Good people. Okay. We'll see y'all next week.